Válido de lunes a jueves. You
The Safari Park. You're killing me, Larry.
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from that Larry show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
So I'm kinda sorta still on the road. Got one kid settled in grad school in Mississippi, another in a Tennessee college. The road is a love-hate thing. It's nice to see new places and experience new things, but after a while, you want your own bed, kitchen, bathroom. Every hotel conglomerate now has several spin-off brands, but they're all pretty much the same. The free breakfast thing is always fascinating. Those chafing dishes containing alleged food, so processed, you might be able to wear it or clay your car with it. One had rows of ersatz cheese omelets. Each was identical in color, size, weight, shape, and folded like perfect tacos. They were heavy as a wet sponge, arranged precisely as roofing tiles. I was curious and courageous enough to taste one. It had the flavor of nothing. Utterly neutral. Not cheese, not eggs, just neutral matter, like if you could solidify air. How do they make those things? The uniformity of them negates any human involvement. Wonder what the omelet-making machine looks like. You see quite an array of people at those things. Hard-charging execu-chicks that all seem to resemble the crazy airplane chick.
But I am telling you right now, that motherfucker back there is not real.
Yeah, her. Hair pulled back by torque wrench. Latte in one hand, iPhone in the other, tapping the screen with a fresh French manicure. The 20-somethings wear white-strap Apple Watches. 30s and up, sport Rolexes, or knockoffs, who knows. There was a table for two where I got to eavesdrop on a job interview as it happened. Fat guy, about 50. The applicant was in his mid-20s. Older fat guy sits with a form in front of him, full of boxes to check, and he's scribbling notes as the applicant blabs. I've been on a lot of job interviews, but never with somebody so stupid and rude as to take notes. Notes are for cops taking statements from witnesses. Not a job interview, what a rube. This is what I heard.
So if I was to call these references, what would they say about you as a person?
I was praying the younger guy would answer, "Hey, bright eyes, they're references, and one of them is even my cousin. What the fuck do you think they're going to say about me?" Of course, the job seeker says what he's expected to.
They'll tell you I'm a hard worker, that I really like working with people.
Don't you love that line? I like working with people. Really, but how do you feel about working with tuna fish? So much of what we say in life is scripted, isn't it?
Good morning, good morning. How are you? Fine, thank you. How are you?
Aren't these scripts fucking tiresome? Don't you long to hear somebody say something honest like,
"How am I? Well, right now I've got a hemorrhoid. Feels like somebody shoving a Rambo knife up my ass. How are you?"
The higher the job pays or the more perceived prestige it has, the more elaborate and intolerable scripted bullshit will be spoken. The worst offenders are politicians, followed by corporate execs and Hollywood actors. And they invent their own lexicon to convey their bullshit, huh? Access to. That means free shit for the takers paid for by the makers.
Inflation Reduction Act.
Spending your way out of a recession with money stolen from citizens. How about negative growth? Gotta love that one. CFO morons have managed to make an actual oxymoron an accepted term to camouflage shitty performance. Any executive using that phrase should be fired immediately and then sprayed in the face with cat piss. When we left L.A., we left the television behind. Haven't bought a new one. In multiple hotel rooms, the TVs have never been used, not once. When you completely remove it from your life, you soon realize it was literally all shit. All of it. Way back, there was a popular bumper sticker, "Kill your television." I guess that's what we've done. But for most, they've just traded a 72-inch Sony flat screen for the iPhone, which is probably, no, definitely, the root cause of rampant obesity, plummeting IQs, and skyrocketing depression and suicides. If you graph the rise of the smartphone, it parallels all those societal ills. Cause and effect? Hell yeah. I try to use my cell phone as little as possible. People get pissed off when I don't reply to texts for a day or two. That's because I often leave it in a drawer for a day or two. I should chart those days. I bet I enjoy life more on the days when I don't carry the damn thing than when I do. I saw somebody's slogan somewhere. Maybe it was on the former Twitter, a place I'd never visit if I didn't do the show. This woman's slogan was something like, "Throw all that shit out. You don't need it." Since I moved, I'm discovering how right she is. I still have dozens of unopened crates and boxes, shit I thought was absolutely necessary to haul across the continent. Now I can't remember what the hell is in them. The only things I would have missed are the guitars and piano. When on Twitter, or X, as it's now called, I still see plenty of died suddenly posts and lots of vaccine injury posts. In the midst of all those messages of widespread, ongoing, unnecessary misery, was one big smiley face happy message. A post from Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla, who had the balls to brag about the robust revenues Pfizer is currently enjoying. It looks like Pfizer's on track to rake in $70 billion this year. Wonder what that number would look like if every person who took the jab and suffered adverse effects could sue Pfizer for their loss of health. In another PowerPoint panel of Bourla's brag sheet, he highlights Pfizer's growth areas, which include, his words, COVID-19 franchises. Get that? It's so lucrative, it's a fucking franchise now. Wouldn't you like a piece of that action? You manufacture some shit, claim it's 100% safe and effective, and when it turns out to be neither, in many cases crippling or fatal, so what? You can't be sued. And Joey and the fomite of the U.S. government mandated that millions and millions of people take that jab or lose their jobs and businesses and chunks of their freedom. Meanwhile, Joey continues to push a federal law to make gun manufacturers liable for injuries and deaths. And why would that be? Show us the gun that loaded itself, aimed, and shot somebody. No gun manufacturer has ever commanded anyone to buy one. But Pfizer and Bourla and others spent untold millions pushing their bogus vaccine on the world. Meanwhile, Pfizer knew the vax was shit and sat on what they knew. It appears the European governing bodies aren't quite the whores their U.S. counterparts are. The EU's drug regulating agency just forced Pfizer to reveal what they knew about adverse reactions, and the report is jaw-dropping. Over 1.5 million adverse events, 60% of cases were reported with either, quote, outcome unknown or not recovered. So these injuries were not transient. No shit. permanent heart damage, turbo cancers, neurological disorders, blindness, the list is sickening, and Pfizer knew, and the FDA knew, and Fauci knew, and they all lied. Repeatedly in our faces. Then I saw a story about El Chapo. Remember him? The drug lord, the U.S. government, and the media told us to hate. Ooh, he's a boogeyman, a bad man. El Chapo's been rotting in the Supermax prison in Colorado for 4 years now, and he recently wrote a letter complaining that the conditions in the prison are inhuman. Well, he's not the first to make this claim, and if you look into the place, he's not exaggerating. He's in a 7x12 cell for 23 hours a day. It is soundproof. There is no contact with other inmates. So it's basically a concrete coffin with fluorescent lighting. Think of the sick fuck that designed those cells and the trail of other sick fucks who approved those designs. I once toured Alcatraz, the Supermax of its day. It looked cozy compared to that hole in Colorado. A former warden of the Supermax described it thusly, quote, "As soon as they come through the door, you see it in their faces. That's when it really hits you. You're looking at the beauty of the Rocky Mountains in the backdrop. When you get inside, that's the last time you will ever see it. The Supermax is life after death. It's much worse than death." In his entire career as leader of the Sinaloa drug cartel, there is no record of El Chapo ever coercing or urging or even suggesting that anyone take the drugs they manufactured or distributed. When I lived in New York City, there were some streets that were lined with drug dealers. They'd lean up against the buildings and horse whisper whatever shit they were selling. I never listened closely because I had no interest in their wares, but never, not once, did any of those drug dealers try to convince or coerce me or anyone into taking their drugs. All users were volunteers. It was a choice. Did El Chapo's drugs damage and kill lots of people? No doubt. But every one of those people took those drugs freely. No one forced them, no one mandated them, no one terrorized them into taking them
for their health.
Unlike millions and millions of Americans who were strong-armed and terrorized or shamed into injecting that shit
to protect others.
I don't know of a single person who took that vax and did not get COVID. Several times. So clearly, it was not a vaccine. And that bullshit fairy tale of,
"Well, if you didn't take it, you would have been sicker."
That is a total counterfactual lie. Compounding the vaccine that wasn't a vaccine was the outlawing of ivermectin, which showed monumental success in stopping COVID in India and all around the world. Americans were told there was no early treatment for COVID, so get the vaccine or risk death. The only post-infection treatment they claimed was a ventilator, which had an 80% fatality rate. Remember this creepy, lying, grifting criminal bag of Botox and his prediction for a winter of sickness and death?
"For unvaccinated, we are looking at a winter of severe illness and death for unvaccinated."
And him blaming the unvaccinated and telling you, if you got the jab, you would not get COVID.
"We follow the science. We have a pandemic among the non-vaccinated, those who are not vaccinated. If you are vaccinated, you are safe. If you are vaccinated, you have over a 98% chance of never catching the virus at all."
Compared to Biden, Fauci, and Bourla, and dozens of officials in the FDA, CDC, and NIH, El Chapo is a choir boy. Biden and his regime caused exponentially more sickness and death than El Chapo. He isn't even a U.S. citizen. What the fuck is he doing in a U.S. prison? That speaks to the level of corruption in the U.S. government, doesn't it? Nearly 500,000 COVID deaths on Joey's watch. Yet he promised us with complete certainty.
I'm not going to shut down the economy. I'm not going to shut down the country. I'm going to shut down the virus.
It's just beyond belief that this mummified liar is not only not in prison, he's seeking another term in office, and some imbeciles intend to vote for him. El Chapo would be a far, far better choice. He ran a successful business, and his customers bought his products with a full understanding that it was risky as hell. Biden has never had a job, run a business, or been successful at anything except being a lying, clownish parasite. Hey, this episode is very late, and I have no one to blame but myself and my love for my kids. Getting them settled in their new schools just sidelined this show for a couple of days. It's a fantastic adventure for them both to pursue their passions in a new place. I went to college, but it was a commuter school, a very different experience from what they're about to enjoy. I worked various jobs for most of the 4 years, but I'm not complaining. One of those jobs was bartending in a mob-owned joint, and that gave me an education no college ever could, and furnished me with some fantastic material for this show. Slide over to thatlarryshow.com and click on the September 2017 tab and download episode 45, Murder at a Mob Bar. You may find it educational. If you want to write to me, it's thatlarryshow@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Hey, thanks for all the health karma you sent to my little buddy Moose. He miraculously recovered from last week's nuclear cluster seizures. And he's once again a happy rascal and a rogue. If you'd like to support the show, click the Patreon or PayPal button and make a pledge. If you prefer to donate the old-fashioned way, you'll find a P.O. Box address at thatlarryshow.com. Follow the show on Facebook and the newly renamed X. There are also links to that on the homepage. Now, God willing, I'll be back in my new home next week on the Connecticut shore. That's right, I traded the desert for the sea. And yeah, Connecticut is almost as commie as California. But the lack of meth heads in the street, security cameras, attack dogs, and razor wire, well, that is most refreshing. Thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. I will see you next Wednesday or thereabouts. And until that time, take no shit.